Good morning, everyone. My name is Barbara. I will be facilitating this morning's special board meeting of the Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors. Today is Friday, April 17th. It is now 7:03 a.m. Thank you, everyone, for joining on time. We will go ahead and start. Dr. Yapena, can you call the meeting to order?
Yes, I would like to call the special meeting to order at 7:03 a.m.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and take roll. Rabbi Beliak? Dr. Yapena?
Here.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Mr. Orizal?
Here.
Rush?
Here.
Thank you. We can go ahead and continue. If I have one board member can make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll make the motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Thank you, Dr. Yapena. Okay, taking votes for the approval of the agenda, Dr. Yapena?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Rubias?
Yes.
Mr. Orizov?
Yes.
Vikfush?
Yes.
The agenda has been approved. We did not have anyone sign up for our public comments. No speaker forms were completed, so we'll continue to the item for this agenda, which is item 2A, updates concerning measures to address the organizational and educational impacts of COVID-19. And our CEO and superintendent, Mr. Rubalcaba, will present.
Good morning, board members, staff, and Magnolia family and community. Hopefully, all of you are safe and your families are safe and everyone's well and healthy. So I did want to just quickly go over some of the pertinent items. I know we have an hour, so I'm going to present just on the most pertinent items related to our schools since we last spoke, which was Thursday, April 2nd. Obviously, we had our spring break the week after for our LA and Santa Ana schools, but San Diego did have session April 6th. So go over some of those items. So as all of you are aware, since that time, the Safer at Home order in LA, Orange County, and San Diego counties was extended to May 15th. And with that, specifically to LA, LA did require essential critical infrastructure sector businesses, or in our case, educational institutions, to implement very strict social distance protocols, which I won't go through the entire list, includes, you know, providing employees with face covering, obviously, as they interact with the people that we do on a day-to-day basis, and also ensuring that any person that walks into our building, including employees, do have these face coverings, and also obviously practicing social distancing, you know, being 6 feet away from each other and ensuring that all the campuses have soap and, you know, the essential sanitizers for us to wash our hands periodically and also sanitize. And with that, you know, required us to post specific, you know, posters regarding social distancing, and also, you know, some attachments that were sent to us by the LA County Department of Public Health, ensuring that we have compiled completed all the checklist items in order to be a safe. So that went into effect for LA County April 15th, and our authorizers worked with us to start that at our school sites in LA, and OC and San Diego counties is also following. With that, the next one I wanna talk about is the governor. Obviously, all of you heard the governor on Tuesday laid out a plan for reopening the economy. And with that, six indicators need to be met in order for us to start taking steps to do that. And that included, you know, ensuring we're taking the steps to protect our most vulnerable citizens during this COVID-19 pandemic, and also ensuring that our healthcare system workers are equipped to handle the surge. And as all of you know, as you've been hearing, that this week, obviously, we'll be experiencing quite a bit of cases, but also deaths. And some experts have said that this would be California's peak when it comes to that. Another thing that was mentioned during that press conference was mentioned of, you know, us being very vigilant until we, you know, reach a herd immunity or we find a vaccine within the next 12 to 18 months. And the governor did make mention of the fact that schools, you know, would obviously reopen if some of these indicators, all indicators were met, and there was a strong possibility that would happen in the fall. But with that, the governor mentioned staggered bell schedules and staggered recess and lunches and block schedules, and how physical education classes would look differently, essentially focusing on, you know, ensuring that we're still practicing social distancing at our schools. So we did receive a bit more guidance from the San Diego County of Office of Education. The superintendent at San Diego laid out a 3 to 4 page, I think it was 4 page plan on how that might look. And they offered 3 different options. And again, similar to what was made mention with the governor, but basically laying out some hybrid models of how that could look. So we obviously are always engaging with our authorizers and county superintendents, and we're unique in that we have 4 authorizers, and I think that's a great advantage because we get to hear from all the authorizers and state agencies and then act accordingly. So we'll start thinking about that and brainstorming about that as we get more guidance from the CDE and also from our authorizers on how we start planning for the fall reopen. And with that, all of you are aware that LAUSD also on Monday announced they finally made the decision with their board to extend the closure until the summer, after summer, basically saying that the campuses would be closed throughout the summer, and summer schools programs would not happen, through your traditional means, brick and mortar, but that they would also start planning summer schools. So that obviously impacts our, Prop 39 sites, but also gives us a sense that we also will have to start thinking about our virtual summer school, which we already had a discussion yesterday with our teams about how that would look. So that from the sense of, you know, what's happening in the state and what's happening with other large districts that we work with is, you know, in a sense of these are the things that obviously we look at and impact us. And then I think from a budget impact, since the last time we spoke, we started to see and hear more what that budget impact would be for K-12 Prop 98 funding for next year, 2021. And you know, one of the updates we received was that May 14th, the governor would have the May revise, and at that time he would disclose what that workload budget looks like for schools and ELAs and planning for next year. And with that, there was other, you know, reports. The Legislative Analyst Office, which is the independent party to the legislature that gives great analysis, yesterday there was a State Senate Budget Committee where the Legislative Analyst Office did speak about some of the things that they're expecting. And the most alarming thing was, but we kind of expected it, was the revenue shortfall because of obviously us being in our homes and there's no activity happening within our economy. He spoke about $35 billion shortfall in the near term and $85 billion shortfall throughout the next years. And with that, as all of you know, there's obviously a 17.5 rainy day fund that we developed since the last recession. So basically, there was mention of recession similar to 2008. And obviously, all these things are good indicators for us of what's going to be disclosed on May 14th in the revise. So we'll still keep monitoring the situation, but how that impacts us, then obviously the plan to bring the board a, you know, MPS pay scale for teachers, non-classroom, academic position, and school leaders, that obviously will not happen till May 14th, and then we'll have subsequent meetings to approve that and obviously bring you a full budget. So that's going to obviously delay our process, but rightfully so, we have to see how those impacts are going to, you know, take effect on our schools, and we have to wait to get all the details. So May will be definitely busy, and we'll obviously communicate to our teachers and to our communities about how that looks and how obviously all of us are understanding what this public health crisis has done, and now economic crisis that is now before us. And also with that, you know, we took some steps to apply for different, you know, the program through the CARES Stimulus Act, and one specifically was the Paycheck Protection Program. So you'll get more information at the next board meeting specific to that specific application and loan, because obviously we have to do everything within our power to try to get as many resources, knowing that we're in an economic crisis recession. With that, at the school sites, obviously most importantly is ensuring that our families, our students, and our community is safe and healthy. So the distribution of meals has definitely picked up at our locations, and specifically for MSA 1 and Santa Ana, our two central sites, they have seen the largest amount of meals being distributed, which is great. Makes us feel really good that we're helping our community, rightfully so. So for one, you know, the distribution center for 1, 2, 5, and 7, our schools, MSA 3 is still, there's meals being provided at the Curtis location. At MSA 4 and 6, we're still working with LAEP to distribute these at the church site at our school. And then for Bell, that is at the Bell High School, less than half a mile away. And then San Diego, you know, is working with the local districts there nearby to have those meals distributed to families. And Santa Ana, which has seen the largest amount of meal distributions because of the fact, obviously, that we have our partnership with the official No Child Left Behind program. So that has been a success on Saturdays, and we still continue to distribute meals Monday through Friday. So that's, again, something that keeps happening, and we will continue to have that until we return to, at this point, I don't even want to say return to normalcy, because I think we've all come to the conclusion that normal is no longer an option. We're going to have to change the way we do things. The other thing is our One Family LA partnership with 25 community organizations that's been able to help several of our families throughout this crisis. Ismael's on the line to speak a little bit about it in case you have questions. And then in terms of what's happening to our communities, COVID-19, and now we're seeing obviously more cases. And those cases now are impacting some of our families and students. So we're working very closely with those families and students to obviously make sure that their safety, they're safe and they're following all the protocols, as advised by the LA County Department of Public Health and the OC Health Agency and also San Diego County Department of Health Services. So working closely with them because as we all know now that this is spreading, that our families would also be and students would be impacting communities and staff as well. So we're monitoring that and assisting in a very robust fashion. And then with our distance learning program, obviously we were very nimble in working with our teams and our teachers to develop that. And now obviously we've had some time to see how that looks and how that feels. And with that, there's been quite a bit of guidance from the CDE on different programs and different waivers. And that's also been embedded in our program and some of the other guides that we developed. And I'll turn it over to Erdinch to talk about that. And then we could take questions afterwards. Erdinch?
Yes, good morning, board members. It's been a week since our last call. I'm meeting with you. As Alfredo said, school teams and the home office team have been working with together for the continuity of education since our physical closures. Our instruction did not interrupt since we closed the buildings. We have been providing instruction through virtual and non-virtual means in our schools so far. And then as Alfredo said, after the spring breaks, we've rolled out our complete distance learning programs with all the bells and whistles. And the process has been a reconstruction of our educational program to fit the virtual means. And then that requires lots of work in terms of laying out the design component with guides, protocols, with an implementation and monitoring plan, and now having results and improving the whole process. So for that crafted a detailed plan, distance learning plan, that highlights the curriculum, instruction, schedules for the students, teachers, and the parents, and then that talks about the expectations in the guides and protocols, and that plan we are going to bring into your approval on the 23rd. That plan again in collaboration with the school teams has gone through several iterations. We hold meetings almost every day with each school teams and then get the pulse of the students and the teachers and the parents and making adjustments and revisions in the plans as well. So the plan that we will bring into your approval will be an almost complete plan, but we know that because this is fairly new to us, we'll be improving on that plan. So that's coming into your attention. Nowadays we're now we have the planning in place for at least 1 week for the schools other than San Diego. San Diego has been 2 weeks. Now we're connecting data points in terms of, excuse me, engagement and student outcomes. We're implementing our monitoring tools as well, how to better support the school teams and the students and families. So that's the update on the plan. We're committed to providing high quality instruction during these times as well, prioritizing our standards-based curriculum, and then making sure students can learn as much as possible with the current status quo. These are my updates on this. There are questions.
Thank you, Erdinç. And as Erdinç mentioned, what's been key for us to being successful is obviously communicating on an everyday basis. So having meeting the school sites, and we have the leaders on the phone as well, talking to the teachers on a daily basis, talking to the families, students, and making sure that every one of our students and family is engaged in, you know, this virtual distance learning. And then with the school sites, you know, having those calls every day and having budget meetings and distance learning 2.0 meetings, and you know, ensuring that we're doing everything to make sure that we're focused on equity and access for our families and our communities during this very unpredictable, uncertain time, which again, the more and more that we, you know, listen to all the experts, and we're making progress, and that's great. And again, I think what's important is we're making progress, but we're still not out of the woods. And with that, we all have to be on the same page to get through this, and we will get through this, and we're going to come out stronger. So with that, I'll open it up to the board for questions. We have the staff here. We have the school site leadership to answer any of your questions that you have relative to what we spoke about or anything that's come to your attention that you have questions on.
Yeah, I have a general question. It seems in California, Los Angeles is the worst. So how is our school areas compared to other LA areas?
That's a great question, Dr. Dikbosh. So yes, LA County obviously has the most amount of cases and deaths, unfortunately. But in terms of the impact on obviously unemployment and in terms of the impact of businesses in our communities, I would say that it's very difficult to gauge because again, a lot of this information we're finding out as we're engaging more with families. But I do know that there's quite a bit of you know, just an altered sense and stress, and you know, families obviously trying to get by now that they're impacted. But the good thing I think is that the school sites are always talking with the families and finding out who are those families that need help, who are those students. So I would say that we're doing everything within our power to communicate with every single one of our 3,832 students and families across our 10 sites. And in LA County, that still holds true. But I think I'll turn it over to any of the LA principals that are on for them to give a better sense of what that looks like on a day-to-day basis, their communication with families and what they're hearing. Principals, any of our LA principals want to give some insight onto how that looks?
Yeah, I'm, Jason, right here, Jason Hernandez from MSA Bell. In regards to anyone impacted by the virus, we haven't heard of anyone. We did have one parent, that was going to have a future sixth grader come on that did tell us that she had recovered from it. And so we told her we'd send her a new packet. But other than that, I've not heard of any family that's gotten infected. As far as jobs, we haven't gotten into that much detail. I know a lot of families have been very appreciative that we've been keeping in contact with them. And, you know, we've been delivering Chromebooks to families that need it. We're starting to see that a lot of parents are doing remote work now. And so with remote work, there's that added stress at home where, well, I only got one computer, you know, and my child needs it too. So does my other children. And so we've been finding out that the need for technology is increasing daily. So we're trying to close that gap. But other than that, I've been glad to hear that our families have been safe, you know, and they've been happy to hear from us.
Thank you, Jason. Mustafa, go ahead.
This is Mustafa from MSA1. Good morning, board members and colleagues. So far, I just heard one of our senior students, with her whole family were diagnosed positive with coronavirus, but they are on the mend. So I think they are discharged and they are, thinking about to get over that treatment. And that's what we heard. Other than that, I haven't heard from other parents.
Mustafa, you're breaking up. Your voice is coming in and out.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's the update.
Brad, Megan, anyone? Thank you, Mustafa. Brad, hey, Megan.
This is Brad from MSA 5. Good morning, everybody. You know, my parents have been very grateful. You know, as we continue to go through the process, the only difficulty has been is, you know, both school and families realizing the needs of our students and trying to provide them all the support that they can get, whether that be technology, especially, you know, if a Chromebook stops working, or, you know, we've had families now where they've had internet, but now they're losing their internet. So we're still waiting upon those hotspots and getting those back out to the families to help alleviate that and just continue to support them. But overall, the parents have been very happy with the communication from both school site and home office. Thank you.
Hi, this is Megan from MSA7.
Go ahead, Megan.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to add for our experience, because we are located near Northridge Medical Center and Hospital, that a big majority of our families, our parents are in the medical field. So the biggest struggle that we're experiencing is them being able to be at home and have time to support their students. We have had a couple parents that were exposed to the virus, so they had to go in quarantine or live separate from their families for a while until they were cleared. But unfortunately, we have not seen any positive cases. It's more so just the strain that everyone's experiencing of trying to work, trying to balance homeschool. They're all grateful for home office and the school sites for what we're doing as an organization. But similar to what the other principal said, of just trying to figure out the balance. We do have a few parents that have actually been shipped to other parts of the country to work in different hospitals in New York and in New Jersey. So some of the kids have gone to live with grandparents and other places. So it's just a matter of us making sure that the connection is always there so that we know where our kids physically are and how we can best support them.
Great. Thank you, Megan.
Good morning, everyone. This is John from MSA 6.
Hey, John, go for it. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, board members. So for MSA 6, I can say that our parents also were thankful for providing meals every single day, providing Chromebooks. We also ordered some, you know, hotspots for the internet, you know, issues. They are also happy to see that teachers reaching out to their students. via YouTube videos, Zoom meetings, or Google Hangouts. For now, I can say that, you know, education continues for these families. The only concern is parents, they need more training about how to follow up with their kids regarding Google Classroom or our online other online resources. So we started training our parents for that. In terms of cases, we don't know any case for now. We just lost one parent around Christmas time, and we don't know it's because of the coronavirus. Some parents, obviously, they lost their jobs. You know, they're trying to figure out, you know, how they can, you know, continue their life. And lastly, we shared our parking lot with the hospital. There is a hospital nearby our school, and those staff members also are very thankful for that.
Thank you, John. Anyone else that's on the line before we go to another question? All right, thank you, site leadership, for all of your work. And again, as we've told you, you guys are doing a great job, and just keep it up in communicating with our families and helping them as much as we can. Dr. Digbosh, did you have other questions?
No, that's good. Thanks for the update from each site. I appreciate it.
All right, other questions from other board members?
Alfredo, by the way, this is Serge. You mentioned LA principals, but if you would like an update, I can give a quick update too. This is Serge from San Diego.
Yes, yes. Good morning, Gokhan. Yes, go ahead.
Good morning, board members and public. So we, just like all the other principals said, we are working really hard with our staff, families, and students to make sure that everyone has access. And we did the same things as delivering Chromebooks to students home, to delivering packets or drive through Chromebook pickups at our school. Based on the, so far I had 6 different parent meetings with close to maybe 150 total parent participation in total. And the biggest feedback that we are getting is there are many parents, they need support with activities. So even though in our case, many of them, they said that they can help with the academics, but academics is not their priority because the students are even either having meltdowns, especially they say that after the 3-4 weeks, it is just that moment right now. So we are going to actually discuss today the options for maybe starting different clubs. We already sent some parenting training, free trainings for the parents that was provided to us through either Kanti or other resources. But that is the biggest component that we will focus once. I mean, we are still putting systems in place and we still don't have 100% full participation. We are close to 80% really engaged students. And then we have 10% just checking in and out. But then there's a group that they are still not fully engaged. But then there's also that social emotional component that we will be focusing with my team today. Thank you.
Thank you, Gokhan, for that update. Stephen, I'm not sure if you're on the line, Stephen, just to hear from Santa Ana. If not, we'll move on to other questions. All right. Other questions from board members? All right, if there are no further questions, obviously our next board meeting is April 23rd, and Barbara has been working very hard with staff to get that ready to go and for us to be ready for that day. Barbara, do you want to give any updates on our board meeting on the 23rd? Anything our board should know?
No, I will be sending out the agenda today along with the binders for the 3 board members who require the hard copies. We are expecting about 2 hours for that meeting, Alfredo, I believe. So it'll be in the evening. It won't be our typical Friday morning meeting. It'll be our regular meeting in the evening. And we also have the nominating and governance committee on Monday at 6 p.m.
Yes, and then thank you, Barbara. And I just want to thank all the board members, specifically Rabbi Beliak and the rest of the members who have been very active in reaching out to the schools and helping us out with some of the personal protective equipment. So the schools have that. So we're very thankful for always reaching out and for always, just checking in. It's very good to know. So thank you for your support. With that, as I said, April 23rd, as Barbara said, we slated for 2 hours, but I think we might go to 3 hours because there's quite a bit of questions. And now that things are starting to become clearer for our schools when it comes to next year. So we expect a nice, very robust board meeting on the 23rd. So with that, if there are no further comments, then I'll turn it back over to Barbara to take us through next steps.
Dr. Yapanai, if you don't mind adjourning the meeting at 7:39.
Thanks so much for all the board members who joined the meeting, and thank you, team, for the updates. I would like to adjourn the meeting at 7:39 a.m. See you Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.